Hey guys, so we are with two champions, Nancy Barasa and Lavender Akini, and they are champions for Umande Trust. And yeah, if you guys want to introduce yourselves, that'd be great. Maybe just your name, where you're from, your age.
Nancy Barasa, a champion for Umande Trust. And right now we're working on a project of sex for water inclusion and how the girls receive sex for water. So that's what we're doing. Apart from that, I am a mentor at Polycom Project, where we mentor young adolescent girls on matters of HR and human rights. So that's what I basically do. Yes, thank you. I'm A, and I'm from Nairobi, Kenya, Kibera Slum.
Awesome. And Lavender?
Hi, I'm Lavender Akinyi from Nairobi, Kenya, Kibera Slums. I'm a champion working with Umande Trust for and Stop Sex for Water. And also, I'm a mentor at Polycom Development Project. And also, I'm a MNH advocate, a maternal and newborn health advocate. Yeah. With Polycom, we do girls mentorship and women empowerment mostly.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you guys for joining us. I think it's like 4 your time.
Yeah.
It's 8 a.m. here. And it, I think for Chrissy, it's 5 a.m. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the beginning of our day. So let's start with the first question, I guess. Overall, what led you to become an Umande Trust champion? Like, how did you find out about it? What kind of inspired you to be a part of this project and organization?
So I found out about Umande Trust through Polycom Development Project. And I got to learn a little about about the project they intend to start in our community, and I was thrilled. I was excited to come on board and assist, because these are things that happen in our community, but then we don't get these platforms to express ourselves on such issues. So I felt like this is a very good platform for me to grow as a person, and also for my community to grow, for the girls to get opportunities to express themselves and come out of their shell and be able to know that there's someone, maybe there's an organization out here that they can be able to turn to in case things happen. So this motivated me to come on board, and yes, that was me.
Wow, that's amazing. Awesome. And have you always like wanted to like work for the community and like help improve it, I guess?
Okay, I'll be honest. When I cleared my high school, I was not sure what I really wanted to do for myself, and a friend of mine reached out to me, and she told me I have a heart for the community, and she thinks it will be okay for me to get a platform where I can be able to serve and where I can be able to showcase and even better my knowledge on community development. So it's not something I'm doing in school. I'm doing a totally different course. And me reaching out to me, I'll talk mostly of Polycom because that's the direct link between me and Umande Trust. So the friend reached out to me and told me about Polycom. I inquired and I started working with the girls in our community. And through that, I've been able to interact with so many other people. And that's where I got to meet Benazir and her team. And that's how I began working with them. So it has been a journey for me. I won't say I am where I want to be. I'm still learning. I'm still growing in this field. And I feel like I'm loving it and I want to continue doing it. So for me, it's still a stage of discovery and just opening up and taking up space and just being able to know what the future aligns for me. Yeah, so that's what I'm basically doing right now. But community, working with the community has now become my passion, and I just want to continue doing it for the longest time. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. I think that like a lot of people try to find their passions, but a lot of the time it ends up like finding you, and it just becomes more natural. And it's just like, yeah, you find your way, but it's amazing that you found your passion and are working towards it. Lavender, I guess, same questions. What led you to Avande Trust, and have you always wanted to kind of work with the community?
Okay, hi again. Okay, so with this project, I think I did get the direct link also from Polycom. And first things first, I'm also a victim of the same. You know, been born and raised in Kibra for 25 years now, and I'm still living in Kibra. With the passion of working with the community, something that has always been in me from the word go. I also went to ZTech University, though I deferred. I was doing diploma in community development and social work. Yeah, so it's something that I agree with. It's something that I've always wanted to do in all my life. With this project, I think I was one of those people who did the research. We did it with LaTech Africa. We were doing the research on this issue on sex for water. So we were involved, we were taken to the ground to do this research to get the information and evidences that it's something that is really happening. And also me being one of the victims, I think it was the easiest way to, you know, use me to get more evidences and more stories from people on the ground. Yeah, so that's how I got to know. Personally, I was eagerly waiting for this project to be implemented and to be something that needs to be worked on, because it's something that really affected many girls, and it's really affecting many girls till now, and maybe boys also. And I never knew at some point we will have this project come to the ground and maybe you know bring the positive changes in people, because it's something that it was like a normal norm that we are used to. It's something that is there, we don't have to do anything about it. So when this project came, that's when I knew that maybe, you know, something positive is going to come. Yeah, and I'm really glad and really happy to be part of this project, because it's really something that I've always wanted to see come to an end at some point.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you for sharing. I guess a question for both of you. What was the training process like to be a champion? We got to know what it is, but I mean, just what does it entail, I guess? Or what did you guys have to learn maybe that you didn't know before?
So we were taken through a series of trainings. Most of it was theory, but then afterwards, we started doing now the practicals, where we went out to the field, we went talking to the water vendors, we went to the village leaders, the chief, you know, and people that are on the forefront on the community level when it comes to matters that affect our community. So that's what we did as practical, and we went talking to people, bringing this issue to their attention, because it's happening, but then other people feel like it's not a big deal, and other people feel like this is something that is so normal. It is too normal to be addressed, and so that's what we kept doing. We just did most of community awareness and mobilizing girls and talking to them about this issue, so that when it happens to them, they are. Something clicks in their mind and they know that this is not right. So that is what we did. For the theory part, we learned about sextortion. I didn't know what sextortion is until I met Humande Trust, who taught me about it. And we also learned about how we can be able to seek for consent, so the girls can be able to open up to us in the story. We were taught on how to
were taught on how to communicate with their parents. Also, if you want the girls to talk to you about their stories, we were taught on how we can be able to talk to the elderly. You know, we are young people, so we can be able to talk to the elderly without them feeling offended. So those are the things we were taken through during the theory part. But all in all, we were able to learn a lot. This has helped us grow in so many ways. There are so many things we didn't know, but through this project, they've been able to come to our attention. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like these are just such sensitive topics, but also, like you said, I guess it's also like kind of the norm. And yeah, I guess you just have to adapt to like every situation and like every, depending on your audience. And I guess, I don't even know how much training could like prepare you, because like you're probably, and you probably have like experienced so many different like scenarios. So that's that's really interesting. And I'm sure you're gonna only learn more. I mean, I know I am, so yeah. Lavender?
Okay, to add on what Nancy has said, the trainings have been awesome, because at least in as much as we know that we are the champions, there are still do's and don'ts as a champion. So, you know, you just can't overdo what you are supposed to do. There are some things that we were told not, you know, to do, maybe to go beyond. At least with that, I got to know my place and my stand and, you know, where I need to stand as a champion, not to go overboard. Another thing about the trainings, I think the different terms that maybe, you know, at some point I felt like maybe when we're going on the ground before the trainings, maybe we were, you know, giving people a different information from what we should be giving them. And understanding the various terms that we were being told made us to, you know, go down to, okay, this is what I need to forward to the ground. This is what I need to tell people. This is what I need not to tell people. Because you find we are going to meet different people. We are going to interact with different age groups. And you need to, you know, figure out how you can relay the message to the different audience. So the theory part, at least, we've tried, it has made us at least meet some other people. Those, you know, you'll definitely know your chief, you'll definitely know your area chief, the different Nyumba Kumi people. We have those people, the different Mzee Kijiji, Wazee wa Kijiji. So with that, you get to maybe know them, so that when you're doing this this activity on the ground, there's no what I call disturbance somehow. Like, why are you doing this? Was this taken through direct procedure or what? So with that, the trainings were awesome. At least we get to know what to deliver and what not to do. Because you find as a champion, you only have to get stories. You only have to, you know, deliver the information to the ground and take the rest to the team, so that they can do the rest of the work. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Then you kind of mentioned boundaries, and I like, it seems that like you always have to like establish those, because like you can't give too much of yourself, but you're just so like passionate about it. So, yeah, for sure. It's definitely something that's really important, and we commend you for your interest and dedication to this organization. I guess moving forward, what would you say your greatest strength is as a champion? I mean, what do you think that's like unique about maybe your experience, or just something about you that maybe sets you apart, or that can help as being a champion?
For me, I would say the strength which I feel stands out for me is that I'm a good communicator, and I can be able to express myself. I can be able to be involved in policy making, because I can freely express myself without fear.
And also, I feel like I'm a good team player, and it's easy for me to learn. I'm open to learning from people I meet. I'm open to growing. I'm open to new ideas and new opportunities. So I feel like these are pluses for me, and they've come in handy, especially in this project, where you need to mobilize girls, you need to communicate, where you need to talk to the area chief, where you need to talk to the village elders. My communication skills come in handy, and also we are a number of champions, and it takes a spirit of teamwork to be able to learn and to be able to work together. So I feel like this has really helped me during the project, and I'm hoping they'll continue to come out as I continue to interact with the other champions. Yes.
Awesome. Lavender?
I think my greatest strength is a good team leader. I know I'm a team leader. I know I'm always on set to do things. And also a good communicator, the way I communicate. But one thing is that people will view different with personally, they view me different with how I speak. Like they think my voice is somehow authoritative or somehow, you know, shouting. So I think with that, I perceive myself as a good team leader, because maybe when I speak, they'll sit there and listen to me. Another thing is my strength. I always have the greatest strength in how I socialize with people. You find with the socializing is the giving me the leeway on how I can deliver whatever message I have. Because good socializing, the way I socialize with the other people in a positive way, gives me an easier way to, you know, communicate whatever information I have with me. Because if I don't socialize in a good way with these people that I want to help, definitely they won't be able to, you know, give me that time that they want to listen to whatever I have to say. So it's good leadership and, you know, good socializing line.
Yeah, both of you sound very useful for this type of work. And I guess just for more, I guess, clarification for the audience and stuff, if you guys could describe like your work environment, because I know that there's many components with Stop Sex for Water and that program. There's like community outreach, but then there's also like the safe space. So I guess you kind of explained this, but more like how do you fit into this, I guess? Yeah. You touched about it before, but you know.
Okay. We have safe spaces, as you mentioned, where we are able to bring the girls, gather them in one place, because when you mobilize them, the challenge of space comes up. And so Mandy Trust has offered safe spaces for the girls where they are able to come together, and now we're able to talk about the issues they are facing, and they feel safe because it's a place where they can be able to be themselves. They can be able to come out of their shell. They can be able to interact with other people. And this has been really instrumental since we started this project. And we also have meetings where we give a review of how we've been doing, either during the month or during 2 weeks. So during this time, we're able to correct where we might have gone astray, or where the challenges might have arisen. So it's a good environment for us to work from, because we don't feel alone. We don't feel like we are doing this by ourselves. We feel like we've got each other. And when we come together and we share what we've been going through, we share the challenges we've been facing in the field, we're able to encourage one another. And I think this this helps us come out stronger and even better for our community. Yeah,
definitely. And you said that like before, that it's an issue that's not really talked about but known. So coming together, I think is the best way to even just start moving forward with this issue in terms of eliminating it and stopping it, just community growth. Mm-hmm. Lavender, did you have anything to add to it? Just like the work environment, maybe also just if you could describe what a safe, more about like safe spaces and I guess how you think that it's important.
Okay, I think the safe spaces are important because you find that maybe when you want to discuss some issues with some girls, not everyone will want to give you the information or whatever they have to say, wherever they are. So we have these different safe spaces at different areas where it is easily accessible with the girls, for the girls also. And with these safe spaces, this is where we share the information with the girls and the young women, where they give us whatever information they have. We also have the talking box, not the talking box, the suggestion box somehow. And with this suggestion box, if a girl feels or if the young woman feels she is not going to give you the direct message one-on-one, we give them that platform of writing it down and maybe some other contacts that they can, you know, they can be easily accessed, and so that they give the detailed information. Because we find most of the girls, they fear giving out their information clearly while you're, you know, looking at them directly. So with the safe spaces and the suggestion box that they are giving out the information, they are very important to these girls. They feel safe. From the word safe space, they feel safe. They feel safer when giving out the information from those the safe spaces that we have. So with the working condition, I think it is good so far because we always have these meetings, as Nancy has said, where we give our feedback on what went wrong, what went right, on, and what we need to work on. The communication part, I really commend Command & Trust. They've really done their best, and it's somehow progressing. We are somehow progressing well, and we also hope for the best as we go on.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I guess, yeah, communication can like go in so many different forms. And I think that people need to recognize that, especially with, I think, trauma and stuff. Like, it's hard to always verbalize. So like writing down things. And yeah, so that's very interesting. And yeah, thank you for sharing. I think Chrissy has a question.
Yeah, so I think that having the suggestion box is a great idea, as Fontai was saying about not necessarily being able to verbalize certain things that someone has been through. And so I was wondering what other actions do you both take as champions and as community leaders and community builders to form a closer bond with the girls?
I think we've created a rapport with the girls because we've not just started working with them during this project. We've been working with them in other projects, and so this is just an extension of what we normally do. So we've created a rapport with them, and we try to achieve this by helping them come together. And I feel like coming together is really big for the girls, because when they're in the community, there's a lot they're facing. There are a lot of challenges they're going through. They are molested, they are sexually harassed, they lack food even at home. And just bringing them together, sharing meals together, and just talking about life in general has helped them open up and be vulnerable. And that's how we've been able to become friends with them, because we provide them with, when they come to our spaces, either during the mentorship sessions or during the sextortion sessions, we're able to relate, because we're also from this land. We're going through the same things they're going through. So just having us acting like the older sisters to them, and just telling them that everything will be all right, and they can be open to tell, they can be open to telling us anything, has really helped us grow and build our bond with them. And right now we can comfortably say we are friends with the girls, because it's a relationship we've been building over the years. So we're just continuing with what we've been doing. So that's why we are really close.
Well, that's amazing. It seems like, I like what you said about kind of acting like an older sister. I think having that kind of like family aspect of the community just enforces more trust, which is very important. So yeah, I really liked what you mentioned. Lavender?
Okay. Okay, to add on what Nancy has said, I think we've created the rapport, yes, and from, you know, we've been working with the community, we've been working with the girls for a very long time. So accessing them is somehow very easy. And we've also been talking about this issue on sexual harassment. So you see, when trying to bring this issue on stop sex culture, it's somehow easy because they have a little knowledge on what this issue of sexual harassment it is. So I think with that, it has given us an easy way to do this work. We don't find it as a burden since we have, you know, a lot of information, and we've given them some information. Now it's easy for them to get whatever we are adding to whatever information that we're giving them. So the rapport between us with the girls is something that is there, and it's something that is doing us good when doing this project.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that. Like, I think that, I mean, I'm trying to word this. I guess sometimes people don't know that they can be victims. I was actually watching this video on Instagram. It was like of the therapist, and she was saying like sometimes victims don't even know that they are. You can have trauma and you don't know that it's trauma, and it just like happens. So yeah, I think that helping them process it and stuff is really important. I think also, Deanna, do you have a question? Or
yeah, I was interested to see how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted your role as champions, especially as this project has been getting started. It's hard to start anything during a pandemic, let alone a massive project that requires so many moving pieces, but is also so important.
The pandemic has adversely affected us as champions, let alone the girls themselves, or even the community. So for us, it's been hard because most of us live in the slums, and with the pandemic, a lot came forth. Our parents lost their jobs. We lack school fees to even go to school next year because of the year that has been. So it is really tough for us. It is really tough for us as champions. And for the organization also, it's been really tough because now the cases of sextortion are high, because now the girls are at home, the girls are sent to fetch water every day, the girls just, when the parents go to work, the girls remain at home, and the neighborhood is we are really congested. I wish I could show you a video of how we are. Our houses are really close. So it's very easy for a girl to be harassed, for a girl to be abused during this time. And I feel like the project has come in handy, especially during this period for the girls, because this is a time when they needed this most. Because now they've stayed at home for so long. A lot has been happening. And just having these safe spaces to go to and just be able to express themselves and talk about the things they're facing at home, then I feel like this has been a fulfillment, honestly. It's been really encouraging to the girls. So I just pray that they'll keep it up come next year, because for this year, it has really been, yes, helpful. Yeah, I would say, yeah.
Okay, so COVID-19 has really done a lot of, I can say, negative part than positive, because we find that most of these girls had to, you know, stay at home. Now there was no schooling, And with this, you find these issues of sextortion was at a rise because most of these girls are now exposed. They're really exposed compared to how they first were going to, they were going to schools, and maybe they didn't know much going around. So you find out that the schools were closed, and a lot has come to, you know, to light. And this issue of sextortion has really, can I say, you know, come at a bigger picture now compared to how we were seeing it before. So it's somehow difficult for these girls. And also when doing this project with this issue of pandemic was somehow tricky, I can say, because, you know, most of people when you're going, first of all, when you are doing the research, it was somehow challenging because most of them were expecting that you give them something for them, for you to do the research. And with this, you find that you maybe guess you will get less information from what you were expecting. And also when, you know, doing the girls' mobilization, on our side, I think it's easier on us since we are working with Polycom, since we did, you know, create that positive relationship with the girls. But now we have this group of young women. Now, dealing with young women is somehow another thing that is challenging, because with the girls, we know how to treat them. But with the young women, you really need to do something for them to come to the venue, for you to, you know, deliver this message, for you to get information from them. So at some point, us as the champion, it's somehow challenging, because after your meeting, they expect something, because someone will tell you, like, how am I going to sit here for almost 1 hour giving you information, you talking to me, then I just go home empty-handed. So you find it something that is really giving us a hard time, but we as champions, as Umande, we are trying to figure out what we can do. With the girls, it's something very easy, since we already created that rapport with them.
And with that, we have one more question, but we kind of wanted to end this podcast on a more positive note, just so we're not like, oh, COVID and stuff. So if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
If I could be able to change time, I would do so many things differently. So if I had the power of changing time, so that we can go back to 2019 when there was no COVID-19 and skip this year, then it will be really amazing. So I will do so many things differently. I will work harder. I will reach many more girls if I had the power to change or stop time. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, okay. So, if I could have one superpower, I think if I could have that one of, you know, foreseeing, like I'm kind of, you know, see something that might come in the future, like I see it before, and maybe I have that power of stopping it, like the COVID-19 really messed us up. So if I could have such a superpower, it could have really done some good to people then. Yeah.
Wow, I love that. So I guess going back in time or stopping time or foreseeing things in the future. I love that you chose those superpowers. I think when a lot of people think of superpowers, you're like invisibility, flying, but yours are very improvement based, which ties in perfectly with what you're doing with the Umande Trust. Thank you again, Nancy and Lavender, so much for joining us. This is our first podcast again, so you were very patient with us trying to figure out how this goes. It was a great pilot episode, and we loved learning about your experiences and what you bring to the table for the organization. Deanna, Chrissy, do you have anything else to add?
Just thank you so much for joining us. It's been so awesome to meet with you this morning / afternoon, wherever you are. And we're really looking forward to the continued work that you're both going to do.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and for what you do with the girls and women of your community.
And if there's anything else you want to like leave us with, just any last thoughts, feel free just to share it right now.
I think you guys did great. It didn't feel like it's your first time. Yeah, we really enjoyed expressing ourselves through this platform. And I hope to hear from you soon. And sure. I hope we can be able to learn from one another and hopefully be friends. Yes. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for the meeting, for the interaction. It was awesome. And also thank you for, you know, bringing this project to the ground. It's something that, you know, people are like, so there, you know, you can advocate for this thing, you know, you can do this. So it's something that is really good, and we hope to do more for the community, to see some changes that you've always wanted to see. Yeah, and I hope for more interaction, more, you know, more learning, because this was somehow learning for me. Yeah, so, and I also have some of my friends, they're saying hi. Yeah, so.
Awesome. Thank you again so much. And we look forward just to hearing the progress of the program and your involvement.